For the last couple of months, off and on, I've been taking a look at different various types of sins that we have in our lives from time to time as Christians. When we talk about sin, sometimes we look at the big name sins, and we're thankful that we are not guilty of those. But there are other equally potent sins and soul-damning sins that we do have in our lives that we need to be honest with and we need to overcome. I want to examine another one of those this morning. I want us to talk about overcoming the sin of indifference. And this may seem like an interesting subject for us to look at, and perhaps one that really is not that much deserving of our attention. I mean, after all, how do you consider indifference to be a sin? You know, the word indifferent isn't even found in the Bible. So how can we talk about it being a sin? Well, although the word is not in the Bible, the attitude certainly is found there, and every time that it appears, the Bible has nothing good to say about it. What do we mean by indifference? Well, you look up in an English dictionary, the word indifferent is defined as having or showing no partiality, bias, or preference, being neutral. Indifferent is having or showing no interest, concern, or feeling, being uninterested, apathetic, or unmoved. The word indifferent is a lack of concern, interest, or feeling, apathy. It is a lack of importance, meaning, or worth. Indifference is, then, a disinterest that is shown, a coldness of attitude towards something or someone, being apathetic, a detachment or an unconcern about that situation. Knowing what indifference is, it's not very hard for us to turn to the Word of God and see that that is not the attitude that God is looking for in man. God does not want us to be apathetic. God does not want us to be undecided or disinterested. God does not want us to be indifferent. Take a look at a few verses here. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and at verse 19, God says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Make a choice. Don't be indifferent about this matter. Make a choice and make the right choice. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. When Joshua is giving his well-known farewell address in Joshua 24, verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Joshua wanted the children of Israel to make a choice. Elijah did as well when he had the contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. And look at the indifference. The people answered him not a word. Make a choice. Is it Jehovah God or is it Baal? They didn't commit themselves either way until God had won the contest. And then they all cried out in unison, the Lord, he is God. In Revelation chapter 3, and this is a passage we're going to look at several times in our study this morning, if my voice will get us there. We're going to look at several times the Lord's message to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were hot, cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What was the problem with the church at Laodicea? They were lukewarm. They weren't hot and they weren't cold. They were in the middle. They were undecided. They were uncommitted. They were indifferent. And the Lord told them that he would vomit them out of his mouth. The Lord himself said, he who is not with me is against me, and he does not gather with me scatters abroad. And so we see from the Lord that there's no middle ground with him. We're either for him or we're against him. But there's no room for apathy. There's no room for indecision. There's no room for indifference. So, knowing what indifference is and knowing what the Scriptures teach, we see that it's not a fit. We cannot be indifferent. But still, someone might say, you know, I'm not convinced that this is a sin. I see that it's not an attitude that the Lord wants to find in us. I see that it's not really the best approach for us to take. But preacher, how is it that you say that indifference is a sin? Well, again, in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, to the Laodiceans, the lukewarm church, Jesus told this indifferent and lukewarm church to repent. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Now riddle me this, when does the Bible ever tell anyone to repent when they haven't committed a sin? Think about that. They're told to repent. That tells me that they are in a sinful condition. Otherwise, there would be no call for them to repent. And also, as we've already pointed out, the Lord is ready to vomit them out of His mouth. Now, this is a figure, of course. The Lord is speaking figuratively. But I can't think of a more forceful figure to be used to represent the idea of the Lord expelling fellowship from one, or expelling one from His fellowship. Can you? To be removed, to be sent away, to be delivered to Satan. These are words that are used, or phrases that are used in the New Testament. But to vomit someone out of his mouth? That's the most forceful way that this idea of losing one's fellowship with deity is found in the New Testament. What is it that separates us from God and from Christ, if not sin? So is indifference a sin? I say yes, it is. The fact that they were told to repent, and the fact that they had the threat of losing their fellowship with deity tells me that they were in sin. Indifference is a sin. Indifference is a calloused disregard for God, for His love, and for the plight of our fellow man. And as such, it is an unfitting characteristic to be found in the heart and life of a Christian. And so what I want to do, I want us to take a look, for the time we have left, at the consequences of indifference, why it is a serious matter. And then secondly, I want us to consider what we can do to overcome the sin of indifference. We're going to do all that this morning, in this morning's lesson. So let's take a look at the consequences of indifference. Let's start right here where we're at. It disgusts God. I can't think, as I said, this is the most forceful way the New Testament can talk about losing one's fellowship with God. I can't think of this being said about anything else in the Bible regarding God and His opinion towards His own people, that He's going to vomit them out of His mouth. My indifference, the fact that I'm not on fire about something and I'm not cold and dead set against it, but that I'm just on the fence and I really could care less what God has to say about it, disgust God. It makes Him sick. And anything that makes God sick, anything that makes the Lord sick, ought to get our attention. And notice, this is not some overtly vile transgression. The way we would like to rate sins, oh, a murderer, surely that would disgust God. Oh, someone who's involved in a vile sexual type of sin, surely that would disgust God. No, it's indifference. Indifference. The Lord says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. So that ought to get our attention right there. When He looks down upon us and sees our heart and sees an indifferent attitude, it makes Him sick. Secondly, indifference discourages faithful brethren. To see one that is showing an apathetic attitude towards the Lord's work or the Lord's church is a discouragement to those brethren who are trying their best to serve with zeal and determination. There's a passage in the Proverbs 10, verse 26, that gets my attention when I read it. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. I don't drink a lot of vinegar. But I know what it's like to get hit in the face with a bunch of smoke. It's blinding. It causes you to turn away. And I imagine that's what it's like when you drink a lot of vinegar. But notice the application here. So is the lazy man to those who send him. The person who is lazy, the person who is apathetic, the person who is indifferent, is that kind of a discouragement that the person that is counting on them. And when a local church is made up of brethren who are on fire for the Lord, who are serving the Lord to the very best of their ability, and there's one or two stragglers that really just don't care, that's a discouragement to those who are trying to do their very best, to those who profess the same Lord but display indifference towards His name and His cause and His work. That's a discouragement. Not only that, but indifference causes God's house to be abandoned. In the book of Haggai, Haggai is one of the minor prophets, and I would encourage you to turn to that book. I want us to look at a few verses from chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Now Haggai, he wrote to the children of Israel. He wrote to the Jews when they had returned from captivity. They've returned from Babylonian captivity. They've returned to Jerusalem, and it is in shambles. And the work that they've been given to do is to rebuild that temple. Matter of fact, the Babylonian or the Persian king that let him go said, rebuild the temple. Cyrus said, rebuild the temple. And so they've come back, and it's their job to rebuild the temple. But they began to meet some opposition, and they quit. They quit building the temple. And so Haggai writes to them and encourages them to get back at this important work. Haggai chapter 1, starting at verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and brought in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. They got tired of working on the Lord's house, and they decided to work on their own house. And they became indifferent to the Lord's house. The foundation was there in Jerusalem, and they'd walk by it every day, but now who cares? We've got our own houses we've got to take care of. See, they'd grown indifferent to, they'd grown apathetic to the Lord's house and to the work that God had given them to do. And so, the Lord is punishing them. Until they put Him first, they weren't going to prosper in any way. Well, that was back then. How does that apply to us today? Well, what's the Lord's house today? The Lord's house today is His church. Can we be apathetic towards the Lord's church today? Yes, we can. When we are indifferent about the church, when we're indifferent about assembling with the saints come together, you know, we know who we can count on and who we can't. Those who are indifferent can't be counted on. When we're apathetic about preparing for our Bible classes, when we're apathetic about gospel meetings when they come around and we don't go and invite anybody, and we don't even bother to attend ourselves, the Lord's work goes undone. What if the elders were apathetic and indifferent towards their work? How many souls would go on into eternity without being truly prepared? The gospel preacher decided that he's going to wait till Sunday morning to pull something together to preach. The Bible class teachers weren't prepared. The deacon said, let somebody else do it. What would happen to God's house? No work would be done. You see, indifference causes God's house to be abandoned. That is, His work to go undone. And we'll truly have to answer for that. Indifference can be shown not just toward God and the things of God, but indifference can also be shown toward our fellow man in failing to meet the true needs that come about. Jesus says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 7 that we will always have the poor with us. There will always be those who are in need of our help. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 10 tells us that we are to be ready to help those who are in need. Galatians chapter 6. And at verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Of course, our brethren need to be at the center of our focus, and their needs need to truly get our attention, but it needs to be wider than that. Anytime there are those who need help, and we have the means of helping them, we need to help. We need to do good to all. This is stated, brethren, as a command. Yet if we're indifferent, what happens? If we're indifferent, no good is done by us. In the book of James at chapter 1 and verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to show up every Sunday. No, that's not what it says. Pure and undefiled religion before God the God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We're to visit orphans and widows. Why orphans and widows? Because throughout the Bible, orphans and widows are used to represent those who cannot help themselves. Those who are truly dependent upon others for help. And we're to visit them. Visit here doesn't mean you show up and say, how you doing? Visit means you go with a mind to see if something needs to be done and to do it. But if we're indifferent, if we don't care about the plight of our fellow man and our brethren, this isn't going to be done. Urgent needs are not going to be met, Titus chapter 3, verse 14. This isn't going to be accomplished. Remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the first two who walked by that man that was beaten and left for dead didn't help him one bit. The priest and the Levite, they passed on by. Why? They were indifferent. They didn't care about his need. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, at chapter 4, we see how terrible it is that injustices are perpetrated on others and no one pleads their case. No one helps them. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 1, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Why? Indifference. Neglect. In the book of Isaiah at chapter 57 and verse 1, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. When injustices are perpetrated, do we even care? Now, if we're indifferent, we don't care. See, indifference causes those who are in need to be neglected and to suffer want. In Psalm 142 and at verse 4, King David lamented, no man cares for my soul. He was being pursued by King Saul. He was hated on every turn, and as he was hiding in a cave, he came to the conclusion, no one cares. No one cares about me. You know what? If we're indifferent, people have a right to say that. If people are in need, and we know about it, and we don't come to help them, they have a right to say, no one cares about me. May it never be said about anyone who knows us. Indifference causes those who are needy to go neglected. And ultimately, the Bible says that indifference will cause us to lose our souls. I want to skip ahead here to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is another one of the minor prophets. As a matter of fact, you'll find him right before the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Lord says through the prophet, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men. Now God's going to search, and he's going to find some men who deserve to be punished. Now can you guess what they've done? Or we could sit down and we could come up with a number of things to put on a list of the kinds of people who deserve God's punishment. But God's punishment is his to mete out. And he's decided who he's going to punish. Look at what they've done. And punish the men who are settled in complacency. who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. Here's some people that have become so indifferent towards God that they think that God is indifferent Himself. God isn't going to do good. He isn't going to do evil. God doesn't care. And so we don't care about God. And guess who's coming for them? The God who does care is coming to meet punishment on those who don't care. Those who are settled in their complacency. They are going to be punished. We studied recently Hebrews chapter 2 and the earnest warning that is given to these Christians who are thinking about leaving their faith and going back to that which they were more comfortable with, going back to the law of Moses. Hebrews chapter 2 and at verse 3, the writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" That's a rhetorical question. The answer is we're not going to escape. But if we neglect it, why would we neglect it? Because we don't care. What's that? That's indifference. If we, through our indifference, don't give attention to the things that we need to do in order to secure our soul's salvation, it's going to be gone. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's just the opposite of indifference. Indifferent is, I don't care, I'm going to neglect it. No, we're to work it out. We're to give our full attention to doing what the Bible tells us we have to do in order to be saved. What are the consequences of indifference? Well, it disgusts God. That ought to be enough right there. But it discourages faithful brethren. It leaves the Lord's work undone. Those who are in need are not relieved. And eventually we will lose our souls. So how can we overcome the sin of indifference? If we look in our heart and we realize right now, this very morning, you know what? That's me. There are times that I just really don't care. There are times I don't care about the need of my fellow man. There are times I don't care about the work of the Lord. There are times I don't care about assembling with the saints. That's me. What can we do about it? It's a sin. We need to repent of it. How can we overcome the sin of indifference? Well, number one, we need to learn what love really is. And we need to apply it to our life. What is the opposite of love? Most of us say hate, right? You got love, which is a strong emotion over here for good, and hate would be an equally strong emotion over here for that which is bad. And so hate would be the opposite of love. I want to suggest something else to you. Love is a strong emotion, so is hate. Indifference is no emotion at all. Brethren, I believe indifference is the opposite of love. At least someone who hates is motivated to do something. Someone who's indifferent isn't motivated to do anything. Love motivates us. Love provokes us to do that which is right and that which is good. We know the characteristics of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 4 through 7, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. You see, love isn't self-centered. That's where indifference comes from. I don't care about anything else or anyone else. I'm just looking at myself. Love doesn't do that. Love looks out to others. Love is focused on others. Love is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If we're motivated by love, we're going to do that which is good to help someone else. And if we're motivated by love towards God, we're going to keep His commandments. And we're going to give Him the worship and the praise that is due unto His name. Maybe we need to rediscover what love really is and how we show that love to others. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, at verses 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, if we have the means, we have the goods, and we have the opportunity, we come into contact with someone who is in need, and we say no. There's no love there. There's no love there. If we have that love, it's to be shown, not in words, but in deeds, the things that we do. So, how do we overcome indifference? Well, let's spend some time thinking about love and what love really is and what love demands from us. Secondly, let's think about zeal for just a moment. Going back to Revelation chapter 3, where that lukewarm, indifferent church was found, remember that the Lord told them to repent, but there was something else He told them to do. Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. They needed to repent, but there's something else they need to do. They need to be zealous. You see, they were cold. They were indifferent. They needed to be stirred up. That word zeal means to have warmth of feeling. They needed someone to come and stir them up. They needed to stir up themselves. The Bible tells us that we are to serve the Lord with zeal, not out of a coldness of a routine, but we need to serve the Lord out of zeal. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're to serve the Lord with that fervency of spirit. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. I've got a funny feeling we may be coming to these verses soon in our study, in our class. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, the Hebrew Christians, they were neglecting their faith. They were neglecting their opportunities to grow. They needed to be fervent. They needed to be dedicated. They needed to be diligent. Where does this zeal come from? Well, it comes from our association with other brethren. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, here's this church that was lukewarm. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They needed someone to stir them up. They need to be zealous and to repent. Where does that come from? It comes from this right here, our association with one another. As we come together and we express our love for one another, we encourage one another, we challenge one another, and we stir up love in good works among one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, you can't find zeal staying at home. You just can't find it. You find zeal by coming together with your brethren. In the book of 2 Corinthians at chapter 9 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians at chapter 9 and at verse 2, for I know of your willingness, about which I boast, of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. What's happening here is Paul's telling the Corinthians, you know, I went to you and I worked among you and I told you to get this collection ready. And you started doing it. And then when I went to those in Macedonia, I told them the same thing and I told them about you and what you were doing, and that got them so excited that they were ready. They were stirred up and they were ready to participate in this as well. We're going to read in just a moment some more about these Macedonians and just to what extent they were stirred up. But notice where it came from. It came from the zeal of other brethren. That's where it comes from. If you find yourself being indifferent, you're indifferent about the work of the Lord, you're indifferent about this church, you're indifferent about others, I imagine that you're probably on the outer edge of the Lord's church. You're just barely connected. And what you need to do is you need to move more to the center. You need to involve yourself in the work of the church and get among those brethren who are working. Get among those brethren who care and see if that care doesn't rub off. We could use your encouragement as well. What do we need to do to overcome indifference? Well, the Laodiceans needed to let Jesus back into their heart. Again, in Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 20, after the Lord has told them to be zealous and to repent, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door to me, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Look at this. Here's a church that calls themselves the church of the Lord in this town of Laodicea, and they kicked the Lord out. He wasn't even in the church anymore. They kicked him out. He's standing at the door knocking. No wonder they're lukewarm. Their energy is gone. The head is missing from that church. They needed to let the Lord back in. History tells us that the city of Laodicea was extremely wealthy. And this wealth had given the citizens a smug sense of self-sufficiency. So wealthy and so sufficient were they that when an earthquake nearly destroyed the city, they refused any help from Rome. Rome sent help to the cities of that area to help them rebuild their cities, and the Laodiceans turned it away and said, "No, we can take care of this ourselves." And that's all well and good about a city being able to do that, but that rubbed off on the members of the church there, and they met the Lord at the door and said, "No, we can take care of this ourselves." And the problem is that without the Lord, they weren't even able to see just how bad off they were. Because you say in verse 17, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." It goes on in verse 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed. And I said to anoint your eyes, you need me more than you realize," the Lord says. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with indifference, the Lord's knocking on the door of your heart telling you the same thing. You need me more than you realize. So if you got a problem with indifference, let the Lord in your life. Let him show you what needs to change as you study through his word and make those changes. Let him give you that gold so you can be rich and clothe you so you can be clothed and anoint that eye salve so you can truly see how you stand before the Lord and how you stand in regard to your fellow man who needs your help. If you've got a problem with indifference, let Christ in your heart. Then number four, give yourself unto the Lord. Give yourself completely to the Lord. That's exactly what the Macedonians did. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Macedonians were not indifferent to the needs of suffering saints. Verse 2 says that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. What Paul is saying here is that the Macedonians got involved in this work and they gave more than they could afford to give. And I tried to tell them that, and they told me, "No, you accept it." They sacrificed, they gave till it hurt, they would have to go without. How were they able to be so sacrificial? Well, first they gave themselves to the Lord. And when they gave themselves to the Lord, then everything else followed. Everything else followed. We will remain indifferent about things in which we have failed to invest ourselves in. I know that's a poorly worded sentence, but I hope you get the gist of it. If we haven't invested ourselves into anything, we're really not going to care anything about it. We get a newspaper every Sunday at our house. Guess where most of it ends up? Right in the trash can. Right in the trash can. You know what? I don't care about the business section. I don't have any money invested in anything. I don't care about that. That goes in the trash. Real estate? Sorry, my house is right over there. That's the way it's going to be. I don't care about real estate. That section goes in the trash can. Front page news. I don't care about that. That goes in the trash. It's the comics that I dig out and I like to read. I feel like I've got a little bit invested in that. I want to see what Hagar's doing this week. And coupons, and maybe the sports section, if I've missed Sports Center earlier in the week. We only pull out those things that we've got some interest in, and the rest of it, we could care less. You know, if you could care less about the Lord's church, and about the work of the Lord, and about the spread of the gospel, it's probably because you haven't invested yourself in it. You need to give yourself to the Lord. You need to give yourself unto Him, and unto His people, your brethren, and unto the local church, the work of the local church. Let Christ back in your life and see if you don't get stirred up. See if you that indifference, that apathy, that lack of concern doesn't go away. And then finally, of course, as with anything else, if you got a problem about it, pray. Pray to God. Go to God and confess that you're indifferent. Confess, Lord, I see that this is me, and I see that I have a problem with this, and Lord, help me to overcome it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, we see that we are to ask, and we are to seek, and we are to knock with the promise that what we ask for will be provided. Seek the Lord's help through prayer to help you to overcome indifference. Indifference is not something that the Lord is indifferent about. Pun intended. The Lord cares. And He cares about us not caring about Him. And not caring about our brethren. And not caring about His creation. When we consider everything that God has done for us, indifference is about the most insulting attitude that we can have towards God. Is to just not care. Indifference is a lack of love for our fellow man, a neglect for others that is born out of an undue focus upon our own happiness and our own successes. Indifference can be overcome if we will practice love, if we will pursue zeal, if we will give of ourselves and let Christ back in, and if we will pray to God that He would help us to overcome indifference. A failure to do so, listen to me, get this and take this home with you if you get nothing else. A failure to overcome the sin of indifference in our lives will cost us our soul. And that's not something we can afford to be indifferent about. If this is a sin, we must overcome it. Thank you for your kind attention. Maybe you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God. Don't be indifferent about that. Don't pass that off and say you'll take care of it another day. You can't afford to be indifferent about the sin in your life and about the fact that you're out of fellowship with God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to act on that belief. You can't say, truly say that you believe in Jesus and simply walk away from Him. If you truly believe that He's the Son of God, you've got to respond. You've got to make Him the Lord of your life by rendering obedience to His gospel. Repent of your sins, confess your faith before us, and let us baptize you in water right here and right now for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that in the past, but you've become indifferent, and you've cooled off, and you realize that needs to change, then change it. And if you need our help, need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known by coming and meeting me right up here at the front as together we stand and sing this song.